In what is now Turkey, the ancient church at Philadelphia earned the commendation of Jesus for its faithfulness to his name. And today, faithful churches are growing, even in hostile places. Churches about which Jesus says, "I've set before you an open door, and no one can shut it." Some even come to faith in Christ through dreams, which lead them to seek out God's Word. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues his 8-part series on what Jesus thinks of his church. We're in Revelation chapter 3, learning about the church at Philadelphia and how dreams have led people to Christ.
It's interesting that these dreams do not convert anyone. They only point to the Word of God. You remember that story of the Persians, the three wise men? The star did not take them immediately to Bethlehem. The star took them to Jerusalem. And it was at Jerusalem that the scribes opened the scriptures, and it is there that they said, based on Micah's prophecy, it is there that they said that the Messiah was to be born. And then the wise man, they began their journey to Bethlehem, and then the star reappeared. You know what God says is, I'm never going to convert anyone by bypassing my word. The dreams awaken you to Jesus, but it is my word that does the converting. The Bible says that we are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. But I could tell you stories, other stories, about how Muslims are coming to Christ in, so to speak, closed countries. Why? Because Jesus has the key of David. Jesus is the one, and there is no country, and there is no square inch of planet Earth where Jesus Christ cannot come if he wills to do it. King of kings, Lord of lords, he's the man with the keys. Don't you love him? The man with the keys. The first key is that of salvation. The second key is that of service. As soon as you go through the door of salvation, there's another door. And Jesus is saying, now that you know me, it's time to be discipled and to serve me. You remember the Apostle Paul, in writing to the people at Corinth, said in chapter 10, actually chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, the Apostle Paul said to the people, he says, there is a door that is opened unto me, but there are many adversaries. You know, God opens the doors, but walking through them is difficult. And just because the door is open, it doesn't mean that you and I will walk through them. There are many stories of failure in the Christian church throughout history, where open doors were not taken advantage of. People did not walk through them because their vision was too small, and they did not want to be involved in something that might risk their personal affluence and their personal comfort. So Paul says there are many adversaries, but he says that there is a door that is opened up to me. Now let's look at the Philadelphia church. You'll notice that Jesus says in verse 8, chapter 3 of Revelation, I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Behold, I will take those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and aren't, but lie. Behold, I will make them come and bow before you, that they may learn that I loved you. Because you have kept my word about patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming upon the whole world to try those who dwell on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold fast what you have so that no one may seize your crown. Wow. Why was the church in Philadelphia a church that had little power? Well, we're not sure, but we can speculate. It was a small congregation, possibly. Maybe it was a congregation of lower class people who had no clout in the community. Maybe it was because of the opposition, these people who claimed to be Jews but weren't. It may well be that there were Christians even who claimed to be Jewish because the Jews suffered less persecution in those days than the Christians. Maybe also it was Jews who were simply upset with the Christians. And Jesus says, by the way, even though you have little power, even though you have little power, I'm going to make them come and bow before you and acknowledge that God loves you. Now, that bowing is not the bowing of worship by any means. In fact, in the Old Testament, it actually says, to the Jews I will cause the Gentiles to bow before you. Now it is reversed. Either way, the power of God to overcome adversity and the adversaries of the open door. Isn't that wonderful? I will cause them to bow at your feet, and don't let their persecutions stop you in what you have been called to do. And then Jesus says also, he says, I will keep you from the hour of trial that will come upon the earth. What is that hour of trial? Could it be local persecution? Yes. But notice the text. It says, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world. I used to be skeptical of those who saw in this a reference to the Great Tribulation. But when you stop to think of it, no persecution in the early church ever came upon the whole world. This seems as if it's the time of Jacob's trouble. It may be a reference to the coming tribulation, which still hasn't happened. Because notice it's connected with the coming of Jesus. Why does Jesus just throw that in? To try those who dwell upon the earth, I'm coming soon. Well, it is his coming, the rapture, that would keep the church from the hour of trial that is coming upon the whole earth. And isn't it interesting? He does not say, I will keep you through the hour of trial, but rather, I will keep you out of. That's what the text says. I will keep you out of the hour of trial that is coming upon the whole earth. There is, of course, a disagreement as to whether or not we will go through the tribulation or whether or not we will be raptured ahead of time. And we don't know all the details until it happens. But wouldn't it be wonderful if when we were going up in the sky, we could look at all of those post-tribbers and say with a smile, I told you it was so. Wouldn't that be wonderful to be able to do that? Now, the bottom line is this, though, for us. Why is it that Jesus said, even though you're a church with little power, why did he say you're a church with little power? And yet, behold, I have put before you an open door which no man can shut. Is it because they were strong? No. Obviously, Jesus said, you are of little power. It is because they were faithful. He says this in the text. He says, because you have kept my word about patient endurance. They were a faithful small church, and Jesus said that I have put before you an open door which no man can shut. My dear friend today, what do you think that open door was? What do you think it was? I think it was because of the geographical location of Philadelphia. Philadelphia, which of course today is in modern Turkey, as you know, as all of these churches are, it was situated in those days along a very important trade route. And I think that what God was saying was this, you know, you're a small church and all, and you're weak, but you know, I am going to help you. In fact, I'll even take your persecutors and make them bow before you and acknowledge that I love you. But you have an open door. Why? Because if you evangelize and if you spread the gospel in your community, you live in an area that can touch other communities and other countries because of your strategic position. I think that's what the open door was. And now, my dear friend, let us suppose that we are having tea together. I was at a luncheon yesterday, and the waiter said to me, do you want tea? And I said, yes, in memory of Canada, I want tea, please. And I was in the South yesterday, and I thought I was going to get hot tea, and then I remembered, oi, 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 it's this iced tea. Yeah, okay, sure, I'll have iced tea. But let's suppose that we're having tea together. Let's look at Moody Church for a moment. What an open door. I was just thinking to myself, even if we just took the vocations that are here at Moody Church, because every vocation, the best way to spread the gospel is really through vocations and friendship. Every single study proves it so. The Bible proves that it is so. It is not necessarily in the large crowds. And today the crowds don't come because people think that the gospel has been marginalized and they see no relevance and no great need. And so what God does is, here at the Moody Church, we have representatives of business, Chicago. We can touch the business community. Medical, Chicago. We've got doctors and nurses and on various levels of work and involvement in medicine. Educational, Chicago. We have people here who teach in the public schools. Not only who teach, but are administrators in the public schools. In fact, I had lunch recently with a man who may be here, who actually has responsibility for a whole area within the public school system. So we have educational Chicago. We have industrial Chicago. We could add we have young Chicago. We have Latino Chicago. We have racial Chicago. We have the colleges and the universities. And what God is saying to us here is this, that strategically, here in the middle of the city of Chicago, I have set before you an open door which no man can shut. And God may be saying to us, are we willing to work through that open door and walk through it, even at great personal cost? By the way, my list was made up hurriedly, and I didn't mean in any sense to list all of the different vocations and the way in which we can touch this city with the gospel of Jesus Christ. God has given us a new Christian Life Center. And, because of that, we have financial challenges. In fact, we've added 12% to the budget this year, primarily just to continue on in an even keel and to be able to think of the added expenses of the CLC, as well as inflation and in other matters, because it's all connected. It's connected. You say, well, can't we do it without money? Of course we can do it without money, but the money is used to facilitate what God can do here so that our impact in the city and around the world is much greater. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and of course, as I was speaking in the message, I was talking about the Moody Church. But what applies to Moody Church applies to your church as well. I encourage you to give wherever you go to church. Support your church. Support missions. But most of all, I've been talking about the open doors that God has given to us. Certainly at this time of history, we have a wide open door to be able to witness. It is true that there are moves that are going against Christianity, even here in America. But we should not focus on those, but think of the great opportunities that God brings to us. And what about your next door neighbor? And what about your friends? Well, let's walk through the open doors God has given us.
Erwin Lutzer with more of When Jesus Observes Our Vision, his seventh message on what Jesus thinks of his church, taken from Revelation chapter 3. Tomorrow, more about the open doors Jesus sets before us. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. We all need to know what Jesus thinks of his church. And this entire series will be sent on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. Join us tomorrow for our next Running to Win.